Britain. Prevention. A healthy balance sheet. A debate about the relationship between health and wealth.
Wes Streeting, the health secretary, likes to make a snappy prediction. If health spending keeps going up, he says, then Britain will end up like the National Health Service with a little country attached to it. It does not have to be this way, a number of think tanks close to Labour insist. Instead of viewing health as a cost, they argue, Britain should think of it as an asset. The idea of investing in better health fits snugly with Mr. Streeting's plans to shift the focus of the NHS from hospitals to community care, from sickness to prevention. But it could also act as a supplement to boost Britain's growth. The case for flipping the script on health spending is convincing. A report published this month by the Institute for Public Policy Research, IPPR, the think tank that is closest to Mr. Streeting, pointed out that the 900,000 workers missing from the labour force due to sickness cost the Treasury nearly £5 billion, that's $6.7 billion, in annual tax receipts alone. A recent paper by the Tony Blair Institute, TBI, another policy outfit, found that reducing the incidence of six preventable diseases by 20% could lift GDP by around 1% within a decade. The IPPR has successfully lobbied for specific interventions such as neighbourhood health centres, hubs providing diagnostics, primary care and mental health care all in one place, and tougher regulation on unhealthy products such as tobacco and junk food. Rewiring the entire system is harder. Conservative governments have also promised to move care out of hospitals, but the acute sector has kept squeezing out primary and community care. Although Labour has created a health mission board, it does not yet have a target to aim for that would outlast the life of this government. The IPPR suggests one of adding 10 years to healthy life expectancy by 2055. There is also no health equivalent of the Climate Change Committee, an independent body that could keep the government honest. Another obstacle is the way that Britain does health spending. It is, says Axel Heitmüller, an expert at the TBI, stupid. Some 18p of every pound the government spends is on health, but officials know where only a fraction of it goes. It is impossible to borrow to invest in prevention when one of the government's fiscal rules, that debt should be falling as a share of GDP within 5 years, has a time frame too short to capture its benefits. The TBI is proposing a more actuarial approach. Its idea is that, in a project co-owned by the Treasury and the Department of Health and Social Care, anonymised healthcare data could be used to track and protect health as a national asset. It proposes tying measures of national health to the public finances. Doing so would enable the country to predict future burdens of disease better and to tackle stubborn inequalities between regions, Mr. Heitmüller argues. It would also allow the government to measure the lifetime value of interventions such as obesity drugs or banning smoking. In theory, a tool to allocate resources to healthcare more effectively should be appealing to the Treasury. In her conference speech on September 23rd, Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, called on the department to move away from just counting the costs of investments to recognising the benefits too. She had the value of capital spending in mind. A preventive approach to healthcare might fit the argument too.